This is...
Wow! What a week.
What a week. Politics.
Eita, welcome to another edition of Wow, What a Week. Hashtag Politics. What a week of drama. Please welcome my partner in crime, grime, and rhyme, Botsang Modimoami Muilwa. My dude.
Hey, Brother Fresh, good morning. Morning to the followers and the viewers as well.
Yo, another movie of the week.
What a week.
Yo.
And it's not only here at home, globally. There's drama everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yep.
In fact, I think one of the big needle shifts has to be the election result in Botswana.
Yes.
So I think we should start there.
Okay.
Yesterday morning around 8 a.m., President Dr. Mokgweetsi Masisi conceded that we have lost. And we're going to be stepping aside. Congratulations to human rights lawyer Duma Boko.
Yes, yes. Look, Fresh, I did not see that coming, not to that extent, I must say. However, only in the last weeks before the elections in Botswana, I think it's a month or two, we're actually at your place, and there were some, you know, guys from Botswana, and they had brought it to my attention that now actually the majority of the people, particularly the youth, are not happy.
Absolutely.
With Masisi. And I was taken a little bit aback to say, I thought he's rolling. I thought he's, you know, on a roller coaster, you know, kind of governance. But it came as a complete surprise. I knew there were challenges, but I thought his biggest challenge or snatch from, you know, the party that has been, you know, leading Botswana since independence, I thought it was going to be done. I thought they were going to pull a Zuma thing with President Khama, the former president.
Yes, I thought the
damage was going to come more from President Khama's party, especially in the rural areas.
You know what, some might argue that there's also that some people might be upset that, you know, because for he's a chief for the Bangwatu in the central district.
District, yes.
So for all we know, some might feel that because of the way you treated our chief, we'll punish you.
We'll punish you.
So there's that element. I don't think you can discount that element.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's also unemployment. There's the way the people suffered during COVID. Some people feel COVID was handled badly. But I think the big one is youth unemployment.
It's youth unemployment, yeah. But look, Botswana have spoken.
Yeah.
And, you know, coincidentally, I thought of what the former leader of Nelson Chamisa once said, if you have run out of ideas, elections are not like boxing. They are not like, you know, rugby or cricket match or karate match. No, no, no. They are a battle for ideas.
Absolutely.
And if you have run out of ideas, the people will speak through the ballot box. And I think, you know, the oldest political party in Botswana, that has been, how many now?
58 years.
Time has come. It lasted, you know, longer than most political parties in the continent. Most they will last between 25 and 30 years before losing power.
Yeah, most liberation movements, most post-colonial parties don't go for 58 years.
They don't go.
Unless it's a dictatorship.
Exactly, exactly. So, thumbs up to Botswana for peaceful elections.
Sure.
And it was also good for President Masisi to, you know, rise early to concede to the loss.
But also the writing was on the wall already yesterday. So by the time everyone was going to bed, the fact that the BDP had zero seats in Parliament.
In Parliament.
They had zero seats.
Yes.
Already the writing was on the wall.
It was. By yesterday evening, it was already clear to me. But like I said, it only came to my attention in the last few weeks that things are not the way they seem in Botswana. And maybe it's because most of the time we don't pay attention to political, you know, situation inside Botswana.
We look rumblings.
At many other things.
Yeah, you don't look at the nuances
exactly.
And the rumblings underneath.
Exactly. And the advocate, the human rights lawyer, Boko.
Yeah. You know what? He's a very nice guy.
He's young, and I've heard he's appealing to the youth, the young people. He has an appeal to them. But I've heard some other people saying they don't think he is matured to occupy the first office. But you know how Africans think. Matured means old.
You know what our problem is? I think our problem is we're so used to being led by octogenarians.
Exactly,
people who are past normal retirement age for any other profession. We're so used to them leading and making decisions for us.
For us.
That when you look at like countries that have had presidents in their 30s,
yes.
It's almost like it would be a dream to see that happen happen on this continent.
And they actually tend to do better. They tend to do much more better than the old people.
Because they come with new ideas.
I believe in a mixture of a government.
Yes,
I believe a government is, and you must also look at your population demographics. Mm, you know, if the country is dominated more by youth, you can't expect people in their 70s and 80s to be thinking the way youth are thinking. Have some little bit of youth inside government. Kagame has done it very well in Rwanda.
Yes.
South Africa, to some extent, we still have old people. I mean, we have less than five ministers who are below 50 in South Africa.
Sure.
So except now that with the GNU, there's more younger ones who came in. But the countries must move towards that direction.
Remember at the beginning of the year, I said with half of the countries on the planet
going
to the polls,
yes,
and majority of the electorate being youth, youth have an opportunity to reset the agenda, the status quo, and the way that countries are going.
Exactly. You and did say that,
And that's what you've seen happen. You've seen happen in Botswana. You saw it happen in South Africa just the other day.
Yeah.
That young people are voting differently, or they're saying, if you don't do what is in our benefit or to our benefit, we'll punish you.
We'll move you. Yes.
And the Zambians have been very effective with that over the last 10, 15 years.
Their last three elections.
The Zambians are like, okay, I was fine. Okay,
yeah, then you move.
You know what I mean? And you know, for me, it's let me tell you why it's a bittersweet result for me, the Botswana election.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when my dad finished at varsity, he worked in government.
Okay.
And he was one of Cesare Sekgama's DGs.
In government?
Yeah. And I think he was one of the first ever to challenge Cesare Sekgama over an unfair dismissal. Within the presidency.
Within the presidency. Okay.
So, because he worked at, I think, at the development ministry at the time. He was the DG or deputy DG at the time. And he felt that this is unfair.
Mm.
So, my old man arranged for a union so that government workers can have representation.
Can be unionized, too.
Can be unionized. So, for instance, the Bopeu offices in Francistown are named after my dad.
Oh, okay.
Because he is one of the founding members of Bopeu. And that was inspired by seeing the unfair dismissal within the office of the president. Because I remember him telling me that they were not happy. That who are you?
Who are you to come and challenge cause?
Exactly. Yes. And he eventually left the BDP disillusioned, went into business, and then he came back as a member of the opposition.
Of the opposition, yeah.
And the opposition at the time was Botswana National Front,
Socialist
Party. And I remember our version of the Swart Gevaar back in the 80s was, if the socialists win, people can just come into your house and live with you.
And that's what they put into the people's minds.
Absolutely.
During that era, yeah.
So I remember knowing that my dad was unhappy at the BDP and that he wanted to join the BNF.
Yeah.
But in my little mind at the time, I remember that election of that year, I was still in primary school, thinking, but if the BNF win, then people can just walk into a house and
just take whatever you have.
Because that was the disinformation being spread at the time, that if socialists win, then your house is fair game.
Yeah, anybody can
come. That's how socialism works.
No, but also it will be very interesting to know what is the foreign policy opposition of Boko, whoever's going to be incoming the government,
sure,
their foreign policy. And who are the funders? You know, Fraser always say in politics, especially when there's change of government,
sure,
we must also check who internationally or foreign is behind or backing those political parties.
There's a rumor that because of President Masisi's hard stance on De Beers diamonds, that there might have been funding at the back of opposition.
Of opposition, yeah.
And that they might have had a decent war chest because of that.
Yeah, it didn't surprise
me. That's a conspiracy theory.
Look,
I heard about.
We shouldn't rule that out, but we know that Masisi has been very hard. I mean, it was not only with De Beers.
Yeah.
Recently with the Germans and the British again for you know, elephant, you know, what do they call it when they cut
the culling of elephants. Yeah.
So he has not been a friendly person with the former West and former allies or former colonizer.
Sure.
So they will actually look, I just hope Boko is not the replacement of another tool by the West to can come and continue with
to
our
say we need a good house nigger.
We need a good house leader who will just keep
no
quiet
house when nigger. House nigger. Yes, get it right.
And then when they want to continue to exploit the resources, but yeah, fresh. You know, while we are still on elections, there was also change of regime in Japan.
Oh, yes.
There's no outright majority. I don't have further details, but the ruling party and the prime minister of Japan, they've lost the elections. They must now go, just like the ANC did, and negotiate. So we're going to see a multi-party or government of, well, we can't say national unity in Japan, but the world is changing, and the people are using the voting and you know, elections as a correct tool now to advance their interests.
Like I said in January, the youth will reset the planet slowly.
Yeah.
And they'll do it at the ballot.
And it is being reset.
So well done to young people.
Yeah.
So let's bring it back to SA.
Yes, boss.
The ANC members back to school tests. What is that?
Whilst they were still at back to school test, I also saw the DA leaders, DMAs, and decided, let me go to school and study beyond matric. You know, he's a student at UNISA now.
But why would Steenhuisen, in the position that he's in, with the resources that he has, it's not like he can't afford to go back to school, why would he just sit on his laurels and think my matric and my whiteness are good enough?
Well, they'll wait for him.
They'll carry me.
They'll wait for him, Vash. He's old now.
But you're never too old
to study to
further your education.
He's now in government. He's going to be challenged by ministers and others with doctorates and master's degrees.
The EFF, majority of the EFF would run academic circles around Steenhuisen.
Exactly. But I don't know. Fresh, it's a white privilege. That's the only reason I can see. He had the money. He's a white person. And he got into position without qualifications.
Sure.
So some people said that. But with the ANC, it actually made me laugh. You know, if you saw my, emoticons, and I think they're in the right direction, but they're doing it the wrong way.
Okay.
You can't stand up and say you want people to write a motivation when they want to join the ANC now, as part of cleansing the ANC. You are cleansing people coming from outside. You are actually putting a security measure, so we want to check you. And a person can lie on the motivation. Understand? They can have a standard one and share a convincing one. They cannot talk of cleansing the ANC without cleansing the people inside. There was a challenge last week when they closed their National Executive Committee meeting that some people were saying they must press a reset on Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal because of their performance and their conduct. And other people were saying, but also the national office, then it must be resetted because they also lost. But then came and say there is, you know, people pulling strings, that there are people who were mentioned in the Zondo Commission. Majority of them, we know they are ANC members or leaders. And therefore, somebody is keeping a hold on that. And for me, those are the processes that they must embark on in cleansing the organization. But to say their members must go and write, their new members must go and write motivations or a test on how, you know, it's like an acceptance test. You know, those aptitude tests.
It's an audition.
Yes.
No, but then while you're at it, then you might as well say to current members, please motivate why you should still be a member in good standing.
Exactly.
Of our party.
I say they should have started there, especially when they know who behaved in which manner and who conducted themselves in a certain manner. Understand? Now they've suspended people. Some are in courts. You know, some have left the organization. Jacob Zuma is back in the disciplinary hearing with them. And you want now to vet the people. There's nothing wrong in vetting new people coming in. But we know that the problem of the African National Congress, it's not the people coming. They were not infiltrated. If you look at the demise of the ANC, it was not through infiltration. It's people who have been in the organization, people who grew up in the organization.
Absolutely.
I know part of their constitution is that you can't stand for a position unless you, I think it's 5 years within the organization. And those are some of the things that I think they should be focusing on. They are what we call that committee of the ethics committee.
The integrity committee.
Yes, the integrity committee.
Yeah.
I think they should be focusing in cleansing yourself. You talk to your members, you go to your branches to embark on that process. But it is good when an organization says you must have a certain level of education to can occupy leadership position. I think that is correct.
Absolutely.
Because then you are dealing with budgets, you are dealing with policies, where you may end up in government and deal with, you know, policies of government as well.
So, for instance, looking at how the ANC operate, that you must be a member of the party for 5 years so you can hold a position.
Yeah.
Do you think it would work in other parties where people are just being parachuted into positions?
No, it would not
work. Parachuted into parliament, you don't even know their intentions.
You don't even know their, what do you call it, their capabilities.
The capabilities, yeah. Or their intentions. I mean, for instance, you look at what's happening with the EFF.
Mm.
I mean, I don't think it's a crisis yet, but it's a cause for concern that the people that have been parachuted into positions are the ones who are gone now.
Yes, exactly.
And then the people who've been there from day one, who've been
building the organization,
building, yeah, sweating blood, who are still waiting.
To answer your question, at the inception, and I vividly recall when the EFF was formed in 2013.
You were there?
Yes. Mm. The same way as it is going on with Umkhonto we Sizwe Party at the moment, it is okay at the time because you don't have formal structures.
Yes, sir.
You need people who will go and write policies and the constitution and to start up the foundation of the organization. But an organization as old as the EFF, I think one of the mistakes they did, and it was a slap in the face of their founding members and those who have been there for almost 10 years, you understand? For people who will come from outside, whether they've got qualifications, whether they are public figures, or to be parachuted into positions of power. I think that's a mistake they made. And some of the losses they incurred, it may be because their electorate, their members, are unhappy with that conduct.
Mm.
Why would other people be subjected to go through an elective conference to get into a position, whether it's at branch or regional or provincial level, but when it comes to national level, the commander-in-chief or the leader of the EFF just appoints people as he wishes. People are saying Umkhonto we Sizwe may fall into that trap, but I'm saying if they do it at the beginning, they are a few months old political party.
Mm.
And once they've got a formal structure and they've went through a conference or an elective conference, that's how it should continue in future.
Mm.
But with the ANC, it needs an absolute revamp.
Mm.
I'm still saying I don't think the ANC will succeed what it is going through. We have seen it in Botswana next door.
Mm.
And it's also when you don't change your ways, if you don't change your ways, you can be doing things in 2024 the way Ntate Oliver Reginald Tambo was doing things in the 1960s
or
Mandela in the 70s and 80s.
And say that's how we do things.
And that's how we do things. You know, that mentality. But another thing that I thought about fresh, you know, one of the mistakes that and I reflected on it this week, that the ANC did. Well, despite the arrogance and thinking that when you are a political party in power, everybody who works for government is there because of you, the mistake that the ANC did is the deployment of public civil servants only, and they wanted to dominate the civil service, forgetting that there are people in the civil service, like policemen, nurses, doctors, postmasters, who have been in the public service by profession, and they not necessarily belong to political parties.
Yes,
they are professionals in their work. That's another mistake they made. They wanted to run the government as if they are running Luthuli House, forgetting that there are people in government, and you may find that the majority of public servants or employees of government, civil servants, are not members of the ruling party.
And they're just career administrators.
They're just career, and once you start fiddling with career administrators, you are actually making people to sit back and not work and even rebel or revolt inside the system to say, I'm not going to perform as I'm required, in order to make the political party looks bad so that the electorate can punish the political party. They didn't have that wisdom. And I think what has happened now, all political parties in South Africa must be aware that they have to respect the public service.
Yes, sir.
Political office bearers are not civil servants. They are not public, you know, administrators and employees of government. Not necessarily. They can be, but we should be able to differentiate that.
Absolutely. Speaking of the EFF, I mean, there have been mutterings right now about the elective conference that's coming up.
Yes, in December. Yeah.
Obviously, Floyd Shibambu needs to be replaced. There's been talk of why not Ndlozi. There's a kid, I think, in Limpopo who's been kicked out of...
In 24 hours.
Exactly. So I'm saying, but why would you kick him out without even a hearing, for argument's sake? What do you think the electoral conference will look like for the EFF?
Oh, look, fresh, one person wrote and said, Julius Malema knows how to handle elective conferences.
Mm.
He knows how to, he learned it at a young age.
Sure.
But this is a different era.
Mm.
And he was never challenged. Yes, there'll be a challenge in a sense that to say you can't break the law or the processes in order to put or to favor your preferred candidate. But challenge in a sense that nobody has ever stood up against him to say that, but not to contest him. He can be contested. He has been contested before. But at the moment, I think it's going to be chaotic. And I'll tell you chaotic in which sense that it's either members of the EFF in build up towards, and there's you know, less than 2 months left. It's now in December. It's less than a month, actually. The youth, the EFF is dominated by youth, and mainly its strong structure is the Student Command Council. And this boy in Limpopo has been expelled. He's one of the big leaders of the EFF. And they were saying, you can't force us to go with a candidate that you prefer and impose on us when they want another one. I can tell you, I've been in the EFF. The youth in the EFF, they will relate more, or the students, they will relate more to Dr. Ndlozi, or basically because of education, his youthful look, his conduct, you know, for the last 2 years, to be the deputy president of the party or the deputy leader, than the other candidate that has been mentioned, Advocate Goodrich Gadi. You understand? That's the battle they are going to be. But again, I know that the EFF leadership has the capabilities of handling this thing and squeezing it and, you know, like arresting it before it gets out of hand. In the next few weeks, they should be able, they can conduct themselves in a manner like, you don't want to listen to me. This boy was actually fired for tweeting. If you look at it.
In the bigger scheme of things.
Yes, for opinionating on Twitter. You understand? They should have handled it better. They've got the constitution that defines your conduct and disciplinary hearing. But this has sent shockwaves. This has sent, and now it has...
Do you think it was Juju making an example of him? Just to say, my shoe here.
Yeah, but did you see his comment? I think it was because his comment, Julius Malema on Twitter, on response, he said, try me, boys.
Yeah.
And the next thing, the letter followed.
Yeah.
When they tried, when they continued. But I want to go to see how many other members will continue and conduct themselves. You know, I sit here and I laugh because some of us, when we did that 13 years ago, we were told that we are rogue and we are. We said, but guys, I was the first person in the EFF to write to Dalim Bofu in 2014 to say, let us charge Julius Malema, let us bring Malema to a disciplinary hearing. I was the first person to do that.
Yeah.
Dalim Bofu was the chairperson.
And what were the results?
The results is where I'm sitting today. Although that time he never attacked me, he never gave. I just know that the instruction was given ironically by Floyd, sure, as the GP, to my branch chairperson to say, just dismiss that person. And he refused. He got dismissed himself.
There's a saying, F around and find out.
Yeah.
You found out.
I found out. But if there is no democracy in these political parties, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why Floyd is defending today what President Zuma is doing in MKP.
Sure.
By parachuting people and appointing people. And I know that Controversies has explained why they are doing that. It makes sense to me. Today, having have learned and bent my fingers, why that, look, it sounds like it's democratic centralism. Yeah. The bosses are here, the bosses
don't
are
be clever.
Yeah, I was going to be clever.
Don't try me, boys.
but I think the EFF may come out of this elective conference wisdom. I think, you know, the election performance.
If you could advise Juju right now, going into the conference, what would you advise?
We already know that he will come back re-elected,
sure.
So his position is not. It is good to surround yourself with people that you trust, but don't push them into the members' throats. Allow,
yes.
I will say to Julius, allow. You can have Goodrich Gadi as your advisor, your right-hand person. But when it comes to electing and for people, let the members decide.
Okay.
Because you've got a constitution, you've got policies. And as I said, is he saying, let's say it's true that he prefers Gadi over Ndlozi. Is he saying the majority of the people, they don't see the wisdom in him? And why should he want to dictate who deputize him?
Sure.
We saw that he has been with Floyd all his political life and what happened now. Let the members of the organization make the decision who do they want in the leadership. Then what you do as a leader, you start managing your leaders, you start working with them. And these guys, they've been working together for years. They've got a relationship already.
Sure.
So that's my advice to him.
Okay. Can we move to the ANC quickly?
Yes.
Former President Jacob Zuma was expelled.
Yes.
And he said, I'm going to appeal.
Yes.
And as fate would have it, the MKP say that that constitution allows you to be a member of two political parties if it is for strategic reasons.
Yeah.
Do you think this is just to be a pain?
I think, look, first, there is nothing wrong in wasting people's time in the opposition. He's just wasting
That's
their
what I'm
time.
Saying. Do you think he's just saying, okay, let's play, guys?
What benefit will he have? The only thing is that if Jacob Zuma is now returned as a member, remember, as the ex officio, he will sit in NEC meetings, and that's where the strategy comes in. That's what he wants to do, to have access to information in the organization, to sit in NEC, you know, meetings like the one they had last weekend, and matters like that. But also, it still says what he said at the beginning. He's got Umkhonto Wesizwe as a tool to come and fix the ANC, because after they fixed the ANC and they've wrestled away, and he calls it the ANC of Ramaphosa. And after they've wrestled it from Ramaphosa's hands, then it will them and Umkhonto Wesizwe, they'll come back and be one force again. That's his intention.
True.
He wants to die with the green, gold, black of the ANC. And I mean, the ANC is playing into that color because he's also getting publicity.
Sure.
And the more they have these hearings, the more he's going to be exposing how they don't know their own constitution and rules and things like that.
No, but for instance, the constitution of the MK party, even if it's just for now that they say you can be a member of two political parties for strategic purposes, but the constitution of the ANC surely doesn't allow for you.
No, it doesn't allow that.
So what are we still discussing?
Well, maybe the wasting of time. Maybe he's willing to, for the ANC to say, okay, you come back, but you relinquish the Umkhonto Wesizwe membership. And what if he wakes up and says, yes, I will relinquish the Umkhonto Wesizwe leadership and I'm coming back to the ANC. Umkhonto Wesizwe is established, is there. They are cooking something. There's something they are doing to still want to be inside the ANC.
Sure.
And I think they are correct when they say it's for strategic purposes. We may not know what strategy the political, what did he call it, the political this and that, something.
Sure.
But I think it's a waste of time. I don't see any role that President Zuma can continue to play in the ANC, and he must use his energies to build Umkhonto Wesizwe. And you know, the way he has brought it so far, I think he must focus his energies on that.
Absolutely. And our favorite former public protector joined the MKP.
Yeah.
Ta-da! Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, family said I must come home and rest and leave politics. Not only even join it, it's the provincial convener.
Yeah.
Because they don't have formal structures. It's the provincial convener of Mpumalanga. But there's also a strategic move. Buzizwe Mkhwebane is not a politician.
Sure.
And I think it's because, one, he is from Mpumalanga. She's from Mpumalanga. Two, she still be seen as a victimized black woman by the people. And the people of Mpumalanga may be upset with the ANC and the DA. And therefore, let us put it, and at least they've got a woman in a strategic position as well. But I think in going to, if I had to make a decision on Mpumalanga, in going to the elective conference of the province next year or whenever, they should find somebody who's young and energetic to can be the provincial leader and keep Buzizwe Mkhwebane at national level for strategic position. And you know, she's a career lawyer that can help in drafting and running maybe a labor desk or legal desk of Umkhonto Wesizwe with Dr. Hlophe, instead of fresh running politics, being in a political party and being a leader is nip up in place. I can tell you. It needs time. It's worse than full-time job.
I was going to say it's two full-time jobs.
Yes, it's two full-time jobs. So that's why I always tell people, I will never be a politician. I will not make it. The reason I say I will never be a politician is because I know I will not make it personally. I want to sleep well at night.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, speaking of impeachees, former Judge President Hlophe has made allegations of misconduct against Justice Moreng Moreng.
Chief Justice, yes.
What's going on there?
But by the way, on that case, it is not new.
Yeah.
It is that now the Justice Meyer or the process have the Judicial Service Commission, whatever, they said it should be heard. These allegations came during the time that he was, you know, facing the disciplinary hearing within the judiciary.
Yes.
At the very, very beginning, when Justice Moreng Moreng was still the Chief Justice, and what is going on basically is that Judge Tlhope or Dr. Tlhope says Justice Mogoeng created a misconduct or did not conduct himself well when he coached the complainant, I think it was Justice Goliath.
Patricia Goliath.
Yes, Goliath, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because when Goliath went to Mogoeng to complain about the treatment, the alleged treatment of Tlhope, Mogoeng then coach said, no, if that's the case, don't come to me. Go and do A, B, C, D, E. That's how you support it. So Judge Tlhope views that as coaching or pushing the person, said he was not supposed to conduct.
Yes, because apparently they had a scheduled private meeting.
Yes, yes. And this meeting has never been denied. Mm. The contents of what was said there, it's unknown because only the two of them, who knows. But remember, Judge Patricia Goliath also went and said, and you know, sometimes you disclose information unaware. And she said she, crying to the Chief Justice, the Chief Justice advised her what to do. So that is conceding to this allegation. But this matter was heard, if we remember, by Chief Mogoeng at that time, and he dismissed, actually it was never been heard, he dismissed it.
Yeah.
He did, so now it has been given the opportunity to go and be heard.
Mm.
And that's, you know, in the judiciary, that's muddy, that's very dirty now. Mm. That, and the courts also for delaying, you see, delayed justice.
Mm.
Why would you want to bring this when Justice Mogoeng has retired?
Sure.
You know, this happened.
I was going to say, what's the end goal here?
The end goal is that if his conduct has been found to be unbecoming, I'm talking about Chief Justice Mogoeng, then he'll be impeached on retirement. Remember, he's a justice for life.
Okay, so impeached on retirement means what then? He loses his benefits?
He loses all the benefits of being a judge. That's the only punishment. But it may also have an impact on the impeachment of Justice Tlhope.
Because now the waters were muddy there.
The waters were muddy there,
upstream,
and they were ignored.
So by the time they came downstream, they affected me negatively.
Exactly. That's the whole strategy. That's the whole strategy. But I never imagined the two of them being at loggerheads. Again, if these things were handled timeously and correctly at that time, we wouldn't be talking about these things. And it's them up there. It's them who decides when will this be at. And remember also, the current Chief Justice, Maya, was was involved indirectly as well during that time as the then head of the Supreme Court of Appeal.
Sure,
understand?
Sure.
So it's everybody who has been on top. It's the battle of the justices. Where does it leave us as ordinary citizens? When the former Chief Justice Zondo, the former Chief Justice Mogoeng, the former Judge President of the Western Cape, the former Judge President of the Supreme Court of Appeal, who is now the Chief Justice of the country?
Mm.
So it's all high-ranking judicial personnel are fighting like little children at high school. And you see, once I always said, what brings this thing about is for judges to be seen to be wearing on this camp of politics.
Mm.
And I think it boils down to that. If the justice system of this country, they will deny that our judiciary is captured and our judiciary takes sides politically. You know, we spoke about judicial overreach in the past. Some of the decisions that are made that are nonsensical decisions that are made by some of the decisions made by the judiciary, they are not just nonsensical, they are also against the constitution of the country.
Mm.
And they're supposed to be the vanguards of the constitution.
Absolutely.
Now he is using what they have used against him. Because remember, his main charge, Dr. Tlhope, was that he was scammering or talking to other judges to say, in the case of Jacob Zuma, conducting the. So he was also coaching.
Mm.
That's the allegation, or that's what happened.
Yeah.
Now he's saying, but Mogoeng coached. Why, when I coach you, am I wrong? And when he coaches, it's not wrong.
Mm.
It's catching up with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of catching up, the other day, Sizwe Mpofu Walsh had a catch-up with the former 2IC EFF,
EFF, yes.
Floyd Shivambu. What are your thoughts on that interview?
Look, I watched that interview. I watched it, full with concentration. You know what Floyd reveals there? Two things that came. One, is there has been skirmishes between him and Julius.
True.
Either they were put under the carpet or they were well handled. That's what it reveals to me. Because he came back firing. He is actually responding. You remember Julius Malema's conference after Floyd left and the things he said and things like that. And I think Julius at the moment, what has been happening before this interview, he's been firing warning shots to those who want to follow Floyd Shivambu, to those who are sitting in the EFF holding on the candle until the elective conference and they will leave. Now Floyd is responding to that actually. But he revealed, the second thing is, he revealed quite a number of things, and I don't know whether it is being self-important or what to say, but I actually did everything for the EFF. If you look at that, I came with a name, I wrote the constitution, I wrote the manifesto on what, and because they changed the manifesto.
Is he implying that he's the EFF?
He's implying that I'm actually was the one who was doing the work. And it's not because, and when these policies that I've crafted, and even the last one that created an intelligence house in his office, if they are not being implemented, then Julius EFF is bound to fail. But finally, he said something that I said on during that time. He said, no, but I don't know why is Julius bitter or angry or other people. Because Jacob Zuma has been talking to us since last year. We have been engaging as forces of the left on this thing. He even went to an extent of, and I did say it, to say it doesn't surprise me. If people think Zuma does not have a hand or does not have a hand in Floyd moving since last year and others, then people are not politically wise. But he confirmed it now. He said they even had a meeting where him, Floyd, proposed to President Zuma and other MKP leaders and other forces to say, can everybody else implode into the EFF because we already have a structure and a well-known organization. We are the third biggest political party in the country. And he says, at that time, he didn't know that they will lose the position from being the third political party. But his proposal, he says, to show that he loved the EFF, he asked President Zuma and others, and like the former liberation movement, the PAC, and other small leftist parties, to say, come into the EFF. Let's not form a new organization. And they refused. But then he took a decision after saying, no, I'm leaving because it looks like controversy is a left or copied, you know, the policies of the PAC and the EFF and left with it. So that's what Floyd is saying. But you know what? It's water under the bridge. I think he should focus on his new role. And then they should move.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Can we move outside the country for a second?
Yes.
So the other day, South Africa delivered her memorial to the ICJ regarding the genocide case against Israel. What's the latest in that regard?
Well, look, obviously the court has accepted that. They've provided material evidence why this is a genocide. And then there's other countries, almost 8-9 countries that are supporting that. But you know what is the sad part of it, Fresh? Israel has until next year, July, 2025 July, to respond.
And on top of that, it can't be made public.
It can't be made public because they must be given the opportunity to respond. You can't make public without the other party putting their case in.
What's the point of having a court, whether it's an international court or a local court, if you can't have urgent matters that need attention now?
Especially
people are dying
right now.
This week alone in Gaza, people were killed. More people were killed.
Last night, people were killed in Lebanon. Okay, in another instance.
So what's the point?
Imagine, yeah, of following time frames and calendars of the international court. There's no point. You know, this organization, Fresh, they issued
They're
an
useless
order.
Then.
They're useless. That's what we should call them. They've given an order that Israel must stop bombing. Since the order was out, thanks to South Africa and others, they bombed more. Now you go and say, I have evidence that these people have been killing people. And then what happens? You go and then you decide you'll give them until July next year. That's almost 10 months before they can respond to this. I don't think it's a wise thing to move. It's a waste of time.
Where does the world go when you look at the way things have been happening, whether it's with the Security Council, whether it's with the ICJ, clearly the system doesn't work. The system doesn't work for small nations.
Yeah.
The system only pretty much favors superpowers.
Yes, yes. I think the arrival of BRICS and other formations, because, you know, the world is forming new bodies that are going to challenge the United Nations and other issues. I think that's the direction the world is embarking on, and it will assist the world. If we can move slowly, slowly away from the West and the former colonially made processes, I think we'll head into the right direction. But if we don't form new bodies and courts, international justice courts, that will represent the so-called poor or developing nations. Mm. Because we can see, even if they say they are representing, when did the United Nations rule that Palestine is an independent state? In the 40s. Mm. When did the United Nations and courts rule that, you know, attack on women and defenseless people and civilians and children, it's genocide. It's a statute of international criminal court. Mm. Where has it been applied? Only when the USA and the British and the West allies of them are implementing it to people like Slobodan Milosevic and Charles Taylor in West Africa and many others. But when it's them,
when is George W. Bush and the Iraqis that were murdered?
Yes.
Like life goes on.
Life goes on. So you are correct when you say these international bodies, for me, they are useless. We are making diplomatic noise. South Africa is making diplomatic noise. But the good thing about what South Africa is doing is it exposes the hypocrisy. Mm. It will not stop the people being killed, but it makes the world to realize that it is the lives of those in the West that matter, and not those who are brown or black or those in the southern part of the world that matters. You understand? Genocide is happening in many countries all the time. I mean, this week, over 400 people were killed in Africa, in Sudan. Mm. Just in this week, and it's okay. Nobody's making noise about it.
Yeah, because black lives actually, brown lives and black lives actually, in the bigger scheme of things, they're expendable.
Exactly. So that's where the world is heading to. Mm. But I think it will gradually change with change of regimes around the world.
Because I'm at a point where, and I've said this before, that the biggest irony is the very countries in the Security Council that facilitate regime change many a time, drop bombs for democracy, do not allow the Security Council to be democratic.
To be democratic.
Isn't that the biggest irony?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you sit with five members there and the Security Council to decide for over 100 members of the UN, and you want to force democracy into people's throats through bombs and guns, and while the conduct of your own countries is actually not democratic. But
upsetting.
Interference of sovereign states, laws and performance and governance by the West, and is the problem. It's the challenge that the United Nations has neglected over time, and they've neglected it, you know, purposefully so. And that's why you see countries like Burkina Faso are actually much more stable, much more peaceful, much more progressive, because they've realized that this imposed democracy is not going to work for us. Mm. We will do things our way as it suits us and without the influence of the West, or even the East in this instance. Or even the East, because China and Russia can, you know, wrongly or rightly influence other countries as well. But sovereign independence of states is very important. And if we could get leaders who are very serious in respecting the sovereignty of a state, then we'll move forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Before we close, let's go back to the Middle East. So Jamshid Shermat is a 69-year-old German-Iranian dissident. He was abducted by Iran from Dubai.
Yes.
And
I think it's been years, eh?
Yes. No. And Iran finally executed him, because he's been due for execution.
Yes.
Iran finally executed him. And Germany have ordered the closure of all three Iranian consulates in Germany.
Yeah.
But what's the point if the embassy is still open?
Yeah, well, like I've
like you're barking, but what's the point?
It's inconvenience. Remember, consulates exist for convenience purposes.
Of where you convenience can, of your citizens.
Of your citizens.
Okay.
Where you can get the visas or whatever, renew your passports, or if you've got a child born. And also, they are mainly focusing on the economy. That's why they are at economic cities.
Sure.
You know, like Joburg, Durban, and Cape Town. So that's what consulates exist for, led by consul general. So what Germany is doing is they are not severing diplomatic ties with Iran. They are simply saying, you know what, we'll cut doing business. We'll reduce doing business with you guys as a form of protest.
Okay.
But the fact that they've kept an ambassador there and the embassy still exists, it means they are continuing diplomatic relations with them. They may be having other reasons, you know, trade reasons why they are keeping it. But I also don't think the Germans wants to go and cause a diplomatic row for execution of one person.
Sure.
But you can see how the West is taking the lives of their citizens serious. This person, one human being is executed, and they close three consulates. They are already reacting.
Sure.
Rona and both Palestine, it's okay that when 400 people are killed in 1 week, we are still going to negotiate and we are still going to write, you know, memos and all those things.
And even when Parliament actually says, votes that this is how we're going to deal with the Israel issue, it still doesn't happen.
It's still standing, yes. But first, it is not, you know, closing a diplomatic mission. It's a very strong message.
Sure.
It's a war. It's actually a war without arms. And that's what happened between us and Rwanda. That's how serious Kagame was to say, I'm actually not just withdrawing, and I'm closing that office until you start respecting me and stop harboring what he termed fugitives. You understand? So I don't think Germany has done wrong diplomatically by not closing the diplomatic mission in Tehran. But I think Germany could have sent a much more stronger message. Just recall the ambassador for some time.
Sure.
And say, we are recalling our ambassador from Iran. That's what they could have done. And why are they afraid of doing that? I don't understand.
It might be because of a certain black liquid.
Like I said, trade, Baba.
And not so viscous liquid.
Yeah.
Iranians have in copious amounts.
Exactly.
So yeah. B, I think we're done for the week.
Thank you very much, my brother.
It's been a wild week.
Yeah, no. Let's expect more in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. The Americans are going to the polls very soon.
Yes.
And, you know, I was looking at a TV network that were looking at statistically how, depending on who's been polling how, that's the person that's always won the election.
Yeah.
And based on how Kamala has been polling,
yes,
she should win.
She should win.
But the only time where this has not happened was when Trump was elected.
Yes.
He's the only guy that bucked the trend of the person that is winning the polls and the surveys wins the election.
He may be doing it again.
He might do it again.
He might do it again, yeah. Well, let's see how it goes. We'll monitor the Americans. But for me, there was another thing. When I follow and, you know, speaking to people and read their news, they are saying, Americans are very, especially Jews living in America, are very upset, and they want to punish Kamala Harris because of his position towards what is happening in Palestine.
And the fact that she's been by Biden's side for the longest time.
Yes, there's the.
And it's only recently she kind of said, okay, maybe a ceasefire.
Yeah.
Ceasefire, nyana.
Yeah, nah. But after that, she changed the tone. So. I think they may punish her for that.
And also, Biden didn't do her a favor by implying that Trump voters are trash.
That's trash.
The rubbish. The rubbish. So that doesn't do her any favors either.
Exactly. Exactly. But we'll see, Fresh. We'll see.
Yes, sir. Where do we find you online?
Botsangm@gmail.com and 082-485-9100 on WhatsApp. And then @Botsangm on social media.
And we are done with another episode of Wow What a Week, #Politrix. Thanks for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe, share, like, and everything else that might help get us to even more people that you feel need this content. Coming to you from AMP Studios, downtown Johannesburg, we are part of the Africa Podcast Network. Email waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out Trevor and Pezulu Works. They do the cinematography. Otis the Floor Fraser for all of our imaging, and our executive producer, Gelezo Modisa-Kane. Till next week, have a wow week in spite of yourselves.